Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Tonight is lesson number 10 on the subject of separation. Separation. You don't hear a lot of teaching on it anymore. You don't hear, every once in a while, some preachers will touch on it some. Someone had asked me, said, "Preacher, how long do you think this series will last?" I expect between 30 and 50 sermons on the subject, because eventually we'll get down to some areas more specifically. That's where I name the sin. And that's something else that preachers really don't want to do today. They want to whitewash everything. We'll get down to it, but right now we're laying a foundation of a principle and a philosophical foundation. And so tonight is lesson number 10. The sermon, and I think there are some of you that you'll have to really listen real carefully to get a grasp on this. Maybe a few of you will immediately understand where this particular sermon is going to go. The title tonight is this: Separation and Liberty. Separation and Liberty. And when I mention liberty, I'll tell you right now, I am talking about the abuse of the term liberty among liberal and weak Christianity. So, separation and liberty. Galatians chapter 5. Would you stand with me, please? Galatians chapter number 5. And I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, I want you to turn your Bible or look at verse 13 in the very same chapter. Verse 13, it says, "For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." The sermon tonight is called, it's Separation and Liberty. And let's pray. Lord, I certainly would like to deliver the truth in such a way that, first of all, it glorifies you. I would like you to enjoy what is said. I'd like you to be in approval. I'd like you, Father, to be uplifted because of what's said. Then, Father, help us. Help us to learn. Help us to grow. Help us, Father, to be better Christians, because we learn and that we're challenged by the Scripture tonight. Bless us as we talk about this subject, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the Scripture said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Then he goes on 13 verses later, and he says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So the lesson tonight is on the subject of what we call Christian liberty. Now, I'm not talking about the liberties that you have as an American citizen. We're not talking about the Statue of Liberty right now. Christian liberty is a wonderful thing, the liberty that we have in Christ. But I have to tell you, Christian liberty, the term is terribly misunderstood by some people. The subject of Christian liberty is mistaught by many preachers and many leaders. The doctrine of Christian liberty has been made confusing, and I think by the devil. I think he confuses people about what liberty in Christianity is. The misuse and the misunderstanding of this thing called Christian liberty is then used by the devil and the liberals to minimize and attack the Bible doctrine of separation. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to teach it tonight. I'm going to tell you real quickly in a sentence or two what I'm about to teach, and then I'm going to teach it. See, there are some people that think that we have liberty as Christians to basically do what we want because we're saved. You are saved, and if you're saved, you know you're saved. And it's eternal. And there's a teaching, though, that says if you're saved, God's not really concerned on how you behave after you're saved. And that affects the thing of standards, or it affects the thing of separation. Now you know where I'm going. They say we have liberty as Christians. Well, they're abusing the subject of liberty there. And I'm going to show you. Now, there's some of you might say, "Oh yeah, I've heard of people. I've heard of this false teaching of liberty is do what you want now that you're saved." And there's some of you that you haven't, but you'll learn a basic principle of the subject of separation tonight, and I think we'll all be better because of it. The doctrine of separation is hated by the devil. The doctrine of separation is constantly being attacked by the devil. The devil tries to twist the scripture in people's minds to justify their lack of separation, and it would justify their worldliness as well. So the devil uses unscriptural teachings to promote a lack of separation of God's people. And one of those unscriptural teachings is where he twists the subject of liberty. And I want us to learn that tonight. I start in a very, very simple spot. Number one, what does liberty mean? What does liberty mean? If you went to the Webster's Dictionary or you found a dictionary, you'll find that the dictionaries pretty well agree. Liberty means deliverance. Liberty means liberation. Liberty means a release from something. Liberty means we have been given immunity, if you will. Liberty means we have been unshackled. The Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago is a mission for fallen men. It's been there for years and years and years. They have a radio broadcast. I've preached there on several occasions, and they have a radio broadcast that goes throughout the world, and part of their radio broadcast is called Unshackled. And what it's about is about people that were in sin, and they got saved, and they were unshackled. In other words, they were bound by the devil, they were lost, and they got saved, and that saving unshackled them. The word liberty, it means to be unshackled. The word liberty means to be free. The word liberty means to be liberated. The word liberty means to be released. Now, God tells us if you really want to understand liberty, you need to see what the Bible says about it. Let me read a verse to you. The purest definition of liberty is going to be found in the Word of God. According to this verse, Psalm 119, verse 45, it says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Here God said, the only way you're going to walk in regard to liberty the right way is that you let the Bible be your guide about liberty. The term or the subject or the doctrine of liberty is not left up to your human reasoning. It is left up to God's Scripture. So what he says is, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." In other words, if you want to do what's right about liberty, then you're going to have to do it according to the Scripture. And so, you know, everything is that way. Anything that's going to be done right's got to be done God's way, and God's way is found in God's Word. All right? So what does the word liberty mean? It's deliverance, it's liberation, it's release, it's immunity, it's to be unshackled, it's to be made free, liberated, or to be released. Now, what then is the true biblical meaning of Christian liberty? And this is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Let me read a verse to you. John 8:32 says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See that? Hear that word free? Remember the definition of liberty? It's freedom. It's free. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, who is the truth? Jesus. We know that because John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, true Christian liberty is to be made free by Christ Jesus. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, You received Christian liberty. He set you free. God gave you liberty. You say liberty from what? You were set free from the penalty of sin and death.
Amen.
Josh, come up here for a second. I've got a pair of handcuffs. He's used to this. He's got so much muscle on his arms, I can't get these on. All right. So, Josh, hold those up there. He's captive. He is in bondage. He's not free. Now, Jesus is the key to freedom. And the day that you got saved, Jesus took the key and he hopefully... Well, you may have to die and go to hell, Josh. All right. Now, I've freed him. He was captive. He was bound. He was restrained. We took the key, who is Jesus, and we gave him his freedom. Stay right there, if you will, for a second, Josh. So when you accept Jesus Christ, he sets you free. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, when you're lost, you're bound. You're on your way to hell, and you are captive to the law of sin, which is the law of death. When you get saved, Jesus, the key, unlocks your captivity, and now ye are free, and free indeed. There is now no condemnation to Josh, who is in Christ Jesus. You're free. He's not going to hell. His sin has been cared for by another. Okay, now Josh, I'm going to have you go over there and you can have a seat. You can keep the handcuffs for now because I'm going to have you come back and help me in a little while. So, he also, so you understand, when you got saved, you were set free of the law of sin and death. But also this, he also sets you free, or he gives you liberty from the captivity of the devil. You all know that in John 8:44, it talks about you being of your father, the devil. Before you get saved, there's two dads. There's a heavenly father, and there's the devil, the father. And before you got saved, whether you like it or not, you were of your father, the devil. When you got saved, you were set free, the law of sin and death, but not only that. When you got saved, you were also given this liberty, if you will, that is a freedom from the captivity of the devil. In 1 John 4:4, it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, you understand, before you got saved, greater was he that was in the world than that. Well, you understand, you were attached to the devil and on your way to hell, and he's the one that had power over you. When you got saved, now you're released from the devil having power over you. Now God has power over you, if you will. So, Josh was captive. He got saved. Now he's not going to hell. That's freedom. Now, he no longer belongs to the devil. He belongs to God. That's freedom. He also, at salvation, you're made free from the control of sin. Sin's control. That's liberty. Romans 6:18 says this, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." See, when we were serving the devil, we were the servants of unrighteousness. But when we got saved, I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from being the devil's, and I'm free from sin's control. Now, does that mean I won't sin? No. But it does mean that sin does not have to dominate me. So I can have victory over sin now. Why? Oh, I'm free. I'm free in Christ Jesus. The devil's no longer my father. God's my father. I'm free. So I'm made free from the control of sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, not only that, he also sets us free from the captivity that is a part of our flesh. Our flesh, that's the carnal part of us. For instance, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know that before you get saved, you're in the flesh, and that's your only option? Before you get saved, you're in the flesh, you're carnal, and that's your only option. When you get saved, the Spirit of God moves into you, and now you can conquer the flesh. You now have an option. You can now conquer the flesh because you now have the Spirit within you. So, when Josh was captive, when those handcuffs were on him, he was shackled. He was not liberated. He was not free. He had not been released. He had not been delivered. He was not given immunity, but salvation came through who? Jesus Christ. When salvation came, he was made free of the law of sin and death. And then he was free of the devil being his father. He was free of the control of sin in his life. He was free of the flesh, to where the flesh can now be conquered by the Spirit. So, when Jesus saved us, we are liberated from the curse of death and hell. When Jesus saved us, we are liberated from the control of the devil. When Jesus saved us, we are liberated from sin's overwhelming power. When Jesus saved us, we were liberated from the power of our flesh. That word liberated, of course, you see that root word liberty, liberated, you see they're one of the self same. Our salvation brought to us liberty through Christ Jesus. But folks, understand something. Liberty is not freedom to sin. Liberty is freedom from sin. There's a difference. Liberty is not freedom to sin. Liberty is freedom from sin. So, number one, I told you what liberty means. Number two, I just explained to you what the true biblical doctrine and the true teaching of liberty is. At salvation, I was set free from the curse of sin and death. At salvation, the captivity, if you will, of the devil, I'm released from it. From my flesh, I'm released from it. From from sin, I'm released from it. All right, then, number three. You all know this, but it needs to be in here. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God told us, we're the sheep, we're placed in his hand, and no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Someone said, well, could I pluck myself? You're a man, aren't you? When it's talking about man there, it's talking about mankind. You can't take yourself out of the Father's hand, nor can anybody else take you out of the Father's hand. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I was captive. I was locked up. I got saved, and I was given Christian liberty. I was made free from a variety of things. I don't apologize for this, nor will I. When I say once you're saved, you're always saved, I'm talking about eternal security. I'm talking about the security of the believer. I'm talking about you can't lose your salvation. I'm talking about once saved, always safe. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about everlasting life. The Methodists don't believe that. They believe you can lose your salvation. The Nazarenes don't believe that. They believe you can lose your salvation. The Assembly of God, they don't believe that. They believe you can lose your salvation. Hey, the Free Will Baptists believe you can lose your salvation. But you can't. That is a false doctrine. Matter of fact, it's one of the worst false doctrines. Because, listen to this, because if you believe you can lose it, that meant you thought you could keep it, which meant you thought you were working for it. And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Matter of fact, there's only two religions really taught out there. You do it yourself, and God does it. So, once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, wait a minute. You can lose your joy because of sin, but you can't lose your salvation. You can lose your rewards because of sin, but not your salvation. You can lose your testimony because of sin, but not your salvation. You can lose the fullness of God's Spirit because of sin, but not your salvation. You can lose your mind because of sin, but not your salvation. There are people, I believe there are people that have lost their minds. They didn't lose their salvation. You can lose your life, but not your salvation. The Bible teaches very clearly on the teaching of the Lord's Supper that if a born-again Christian gets far enough away from God and becomes evil enough, God may go ahead and take them off this earth prematurely, but it will be His mercy and grace that did it. They are saved, but He takes them off the earth because of their sin. So, you can lose your joy, you can lose your rewards, you can lose your testimony, you can lose the fullness of God's Spirit, you can lose your mind, and you can lose your life, but you will not lose your salvation. It's very, very clear that once you're saved, you're always saved. So, what's liberty? It's freedom. What is true Christian liberty? It's when I get saved, I'm released from that captivity of the devil. I'm no longer going to hell. I can conquer my flesh. I can conquer sin. Sin does not have to any longer reign over my mortal body. And once you get saved, you're always saved. Point number four. Just because we have eternal security does not mean God allows us to live any way we want. And this is where this thing takes a little bit of a turn and starts heading toward the fallacy of that diluted, wrong teaching about liberty. So number four, just because we have eternal security does not mean God allows us to live any way we want. Romans 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Notice, God's forbidding something. What is it? Well, if somebody says, "I'm saved so I can live any way I want," God said, "I forbid you to act like that. I forbid you to think that way." It said, what? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, see, we were saved by grace. And His grace is going to take us all the way to heaven. But someone might say, "Well, I've got this grace. I guess now that I'm saved, I can do anything I want." And God said, "God forbid that you think that way. That was never my intent. I never intended to save you and give you eternal security so you could abuse my goodness toward you." Titus chapter 2, verse number 12 says, "We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That doesn't sound like I can go do whatever I want after I'm saved. Now, don't lose track. You're always saved. You're not going to lose your salvation. But God is giving a very stern warning, and He is saying to you, don't you develop this attitude that because you're saved and you're saved by grace, and I'm so merciful and I'm so kind and I'm so long-suffering and I'm so good to you, that you can just go live any way you want and take advantage of my goodness. My daughter is here. Now, if my daughter misbehaves, she will always be my daughter. Now, it might be that I won't give her a new necklace at Christmas time if she misbehaves. She could lose some reward. But, Charlotta, you'll always have my blood in you. By the way, when you got saved, you'll always have that blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account. You can lose a lot of things. You're not going to lose your salvation. But he said, "Now you wait a minute. I made you a part of my family. I saved you. I set you free from hell. I set you free from sin. I set you free from the flesh. I got you away from the devil. Don't you think that I saved you and cut you loose to go do anything you want? That's not my plan. That's not how I planned it. Don't have that attitude." That's why he said, "God forbid. God forbid that you think that way." 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Remember, you can lose your joy, but you can't lose your salvation. You can lose your rewards, but you can't lose your salvation. You can lose your testimony, but not your salvation. You can lose the fullness of the Spirit, but not your salvation. You can lose your mind. You can lose your life. You can lose a lot of things, but you won't lose your salvation. But we should not have the attitude, "I'm saved. I really believe in the mercy of God. I really believe in the grace of God. I therefore can do what I want." That was not God's plan. And God said, "I forbid you to think like that and act like that." Did he say, "I'm taking your salvation away"? No, that would be contrary to the Scripture. But he is telling you, "I could spank you within inches of your life. Matter of fact, I can take you over the edge. I brought you into this world. I can take you out." Some of you are all saying, "I heard my parents say that." But if he does take you out, you will be taken to heaven. So, I said number four, just because we have eternal security does not mean that God allows us to live any way we want. Number five, now I come to the wrong teaching of Christian liberty. Number five, what is the false meaning of Christian liberty? It is the belief that because we are saved, that God places no restrictions on our involvement in the world. There are those that believe that God doesn't put restrictions on us, that we can be involved in the world, and they are abusing that mercy and that grace that God's given us. It's disobedience to Romans 13:14. That's what the misuse of Christian liberty is. Romans 13:14 says, "Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now, listen to some scriptures. And some of your religious, your charismatic, anything goes. The kind of churches that any kind of Bible's fine. Oh, they'll say, "Oh, well, yeah, we're for the King James. And we're for the RSV and the NIV, and we're for it all. We're for it all. You know, all us churches, we could get together, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, have an Easter sunrise service. We won't do that. We're not going to be involved in that. But I'm telling you, the kinds of churches that abuse this Christian liberty, let me give you some verses that they use. You'll hear them say, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." My, they like using that. They think that liberty is to kind of do what you want. Sorry, you're not supposed to do what you want. You're to be holy. You're to be separated. You're to be different. Galatians 5:1, they misuse this. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Boy, they like them church services where they're getting free. John 8:36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Men, them wild, liberal, charismatic preachers just love that verse. Gotta make you free! Free indeed! Boy, they go for it. They'll use it a million times. As they were out sipping their cocktails before the service, dressing, acting, living basically the way they want, because we're free. We're free. Folks, our holy God did not grant us freedom to be unholy. Josh, come up here for a second again. Okay, Josh is, he's on his way to hell. He's lost. He's got the handcuffs on. Jesus is going to come along, and Jesus is going to free you. But Josh, I want you to understand something. He did not set you free to go get drunk. He did not set you free to go get high. He did not set you free to go commit adultery. He did not set you free to act like, smell like, dress like, behave like, think like the world. You were not set free to go do what you want. You were set free to be like Jesus Christ. But I'm promising you, the people that abuse this freedom, they say, you old-time fundamentalists and your standards and your convictions and your strictness. What about liberty? Well, I've got liberty. I'm not going to hell. I can conquer my flesh. I can conquer sin. The devil's no longer my father, but I was not set free to do what I want. I was not set free to be liberal in my living. I was not set free to be like the world. I was set free to become holy. Thank you, Josh. You can have a seat. 1 Peter 2:16, listen real carefully. It says this. 1 Peter 2:16, I love this verse. It says, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. It sounds like God knew what He was doing. He said, you're set free, but you're not to use that word liberty to go do what you want. To be malicious. That's not what it's for. I'm not to misuse liberty to cloak my bad behavior. A true servant of God does not twist the pure teaching of liberty. Let me give you another verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. I like that. But it goes on and says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I gave you liberty. But don't you misuse that liberty and think I'm letting you be fleshly in that liberty. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And he's saying here, there's somebody out there that will take my goodness and my kindness and my mercy, and they'll make it as if it's okay to be worldly and just do what you want and have religion the way you want and have the religious music that you want and pick the Bible that you want and pick the church that you want and dress the way you want. He said, don't you use that against me. I saved you to be holy, not so you can go do what you want. He said, for brethren, you have been called under liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And I'm promising you, there are people out there that will look at a church like ours, that we're saved and we have convictions and standards and we separate from the world, and they say, no liberty down there. Oh, there's a lot of liberty down here. We were not given liberty to go do wrong. We were given liberty to do right. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9 says this, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Can I tell you something? People that misuse liberty, if they misrepresent liberty, it becomes a stumbling block to young Christians. In other words, people that say, well, I'm saved and I'm saved, I can make my decisions. I don't have to separate from the world. I'm under liberty. I'm under liberty. God said, be careful. Your use of liberty could become a stumbling block to somebody. Did you know people who misrepresent liberty become a stumbling block to the lost? To the lost. It's a funny thing. A whole bunch of Christians don't know how they ought to live, but the lost people know how we're supposed to live. Man, they're on your case. You don't know that you ought not be cussing, but the lost people that hear you cussing at work say, that hypocrite. That cussing. So, I gave you the definition of liberty. I gave you the true biblical meaning of liberty. We reminded ourselves, once we're saved, we're always saved. We reminded ourselves that God said, just because you're saved, that doesn't mean that I don't have any restrictions or expectations on how you live. We talked about the false use of Christian liberty. It's to take freedoms to be worldly, to do what we want, all under the guise of, I've got liberty, I'm living under grace. You remember a week or two ago, I taught you the lesson on separation is not legalism. Remember it? If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it. They like to say, you when you teach about living right and separating from the world, you're a legalist, you're a legalist. I'm sorry, a legalist is somebody that adds work to salvation. We're not legalists. We believe in living holy. We believe in living separated, but we're not legalists. And so what they say is, well, I'm living under grace. I've got liberty to live the way I want. I'm living under grace too, and I've got liberty to live the way He wants. That's where my liberty's at. I wasn't set free to go do what I want. I was set free to become holy. In other words, I'm to be cleaning up, not going backwards. I'm not to be like the world. I'm going to make one other application, then we'll be done. There's a false teaching that finds itself attached to this wrong concept of Christian liberty. It's the teaching of whatever you do, as long as you do it in moderation, it's okay. And I wanted to pay tribute to that for just a moment. The word moderation is only used one time in the entire Bible. I don't depend on the Greek or the Hebrew. I had to learn how to read both. I know a little Greek. He sells gyro sandwiches. But I did have to learn. I had to learn the languages. I had to learn to read them. And every once in a while, I'll look at it. It's almost like using a little microscope over something. But the King James Bible is enough. But the word moderation. I told you, there are people that say, well, do what you do in moderation and it's all okay. I don't agree with that. Our modern definition of moderation, it means if you went to the dictionary and you looked up the word moderation, it defines moderation without excess, with some constraint, being reasonable. Now, some people say, the Bible says in Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, here's a verse that is abused, because people don't understand the original meaning of the word moderation. The meaning of the word moderation is it is a word concerning your parameters or your boundaries. When he says, let your moderation be known unto all men, let me show you. I can show you how I can let my moderation be known unto all men. Brother Uriah came to me to slander a brother. I'm probably going to say, hush, I don't want to hear that. I just set a boundary. If I met some woman down at Walmart and she came at me and somehow gave the impression she was attracted to me and she wanted to try to hug me, I would put up a boundary real quick. I'd put up a parameter. I would let her know, Women just don't grab and hug me. I don't allow that. I don't allow that. Amen. I put up my boundary. I put up my parameter. When the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the liberals have made that believe, go ahead and do what you do, but just don't do it in excess. Don't be ashamed of being moderate in your Christianity. That is not what that teaches at all. It teaches the exact opposite. It says, let it be known where you stand. They've twisted it. And by the way, it makes me mad. A lot of things make me mad. But when they say this thing of, anything's okay in moderation. And that is because of their false belief in Christian liberty. See, they say that because they think they were liberated and given a freedom within grace to go do what you want. They ignore Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer then? They're ignoring that verse or those verses. And so they say anything in moderation is okay. I wonder if they really do believe that. So is murder in moderation acceptable? Is rape in moderation acceptable? You know, the Bible is very clear. Murder is sin. It's wrong. There's no moderation in regard to it. A line drawn. God set up a standard. We're to separate from it. The liberals don't like the term separation. What, they want to bleed in. They want to be worldly. They want to be like the world. They want a Savior, but they don't want to submit to Him in that process of lordship that takes place. By the way, lordship is a process. We're going to work at making Him our Lord all the way till we get to heaven. But is murder okay in moderation? Is rape okay in moderation? Is adultery okay in moderation? Is sodomy okay in moderation? Is stealing okay in moderation? Being a liar okay in moderation? Is using God's name okay in moderation? Is lust okay in moderation? Is kidnapping okay in moderation? Is bank robbery okay in moderation? I think not. God said that's wrong. That's sin. Don't do it. Separate from it. But those that abuse the doctrine of liberty also are the ones who say, anything you do, do it in moderation. It'll be okay. Just don't go too far. Don't go into it with excess. Show a little restraint. It proves you're saved. You're stuck with a pastor that says, show a lot of restraint. Separate from it. But this liberal world don't like talk like that. Not at all. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word conversation there is not just talked about on Facebook. Though there is, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. What would happen if every pastor could look at the entire Facebook history of his congregation? Wouldn't that be something? This verse here, when it says in all manner of conversation, the word conversation there, it's not just a verbal exchange. It is talking about your way of life. It's your conversation. The way you live speaks for you. It says, but he which hath called you is holy. That's God. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation in your lifestyle. That verse, so you know, also teaches against moderation in sin, moderation in worldliness. So, to many of you, maybe you could not have taken the term Christian liberty and attached it to the fallacy that I've taught you. Christian liberty is a doctrine of the Bible. It's a pure and a good doctrine. But it is twisted by the devil into do what you want. You have the freedom to go do what you want kind of a thing. And that's not true. You say, there are just some things that I feel like our church will have to take a stand on. And it's just cut and dry. You say, well, what about moderation? Well, I was not given the freedom to go against the Word of God. A holy God did not save you so you could go practice unholy living. You say, are you a conservative? Mm-hmm. I got a feeling God's a conservative. Take a good long look. I'm a biblical conservative. I'm not a moderate person when it comes to the Scripture, holy living, nor separation. So, the misuse of liberty is an enemy to the subject of separation. I really believe it. Because it tagged or attached to it is the misuse of the word moderation in the Bible. You remember, there's times when you just need to let your boundaries be known. Which is actually, it's kind of a roadblock that's a part of separation. This is where I stand. This is what I am. Listen to the two verses. We'll pray. We'll have a couple of prayer requests and we'll be on our way. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For, brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I would tell you this. You'll not find this Bible study in any book, in any commentary. But if you've listened tonight, I've made very, very simple the truth of the misteaching, the twisting of liberty and moderation in the Bible. If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're a born-again Christian, oh, I think it would be time to take a good long look at the verse where he said, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." That is separation. There are people in here you need to separate from some things in your life. You know what? And there's some of you, you're almost thumbing your nose in the Lord's face. There are things you know that ought not be in your life. You know they're not to be there, but you say, "Well, but I'm saved. I'm saved. God still loves me." Yes, He still loves you, but God, there's some things God just doesn't want you to do. Stop abusing the grace of God. Stop abusing His mercy and kindness. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, I've been challenged. I've learned something. And I believe I've got something that I can help my life with as a result of the service tonight." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. You may put them down. We're going to have an altar call if you need a moment at the altar. We'll invite you to come. Rachel, if you'll play, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Separation. The misuse of liberty. The teaching of liberty. I've been made free, but I've not been made free to sin. I've not been made free to be like the world. I've not been made free to be liberal religiously. This isn't a charismatic, an allowance for joining the charismatic movement. We're all in it for the same thing. I recently had someone say, they said, "Well, you know, all of these churches have the same purpose." No, we don't. Not at all. I had someone tell me just about 6 weeks ago about all the different Bibles. They said, "Well, you know, they're all from the same source." No, no, they're not. They're not. That's that liberal. That's that part of liberty that's being twisted by the devil. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. Ushers, if you have prayer bulletins, we're going to get some prayer requests, and won't be but just a few minutes, and we'll be on our way. Lesson number 10, separation and liberty. Thank you, Rachel.